Hello, and welcome to Besotted Geek. I am Stork, but I'd rather be Lucas Glover, and we'll get to that later. But first, let's start off where we always do, the box office. The weekend box office, if you will. Coming in number one, again, and again, and again, is Barbie. Made another $33 million for $526 million. Second, again, Oppenheimer. Actually, I think it jumped up. It was third last week. Another 18 mil for 264. At third, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, made 15 million for 72. Fourth, Meg 2, The Trench, made 12 million for 54 million. Fifth, we got newcomer, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, 6.5 million from Universal Pictures. It's a monster movie about Dracula, his voyage on the Demeter. From Transylvania-ish to London town. That's not good. 6 million. Also not good. Haunted Mansion, 5 million for 53 total. It's weird that you put a scary movie out in not October. That's when it should have been. In summer. Talk to Me came in at 7th, 5 million for 31. Sound of Freedom, 8th, 4 million for 172 total. Ninth, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 made $4 million for only $159 total. That's not good for a Mission Impossible movie. And coming in at 10th, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, $921,000 for $172 total. Also not good. And I do not have a Getting to Know You. It was a boring week. I'm not going to try and force something in here. So, sorry. I know you like a peek inside Stork's life, but there's literally nothing happening with me right now. So let's move on to new stuff watched. And I did finally watch Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 10. It is Gorn heavy. And that's kind of what they did with the last, I don't think it was the closing episode of the first season, but they did introduce the Gorn and what they're all about. Very lizard-like, kind of like dinosaur-like. Not a dude in a rubber suit standing up and moving slowly like in the old series. Would I like that? Sure. Would it fit? No. So yeah, it was a really good episode though. The crew of the Kyoga, I want to say, or is that a fictional country in Congo? I can't remember. But yeah, they got stranded on this outpost and the outpost falls behind this demarcation line of Gorn space. So Starfleet is like, you can't go there and rescue them. And Pike's like, that's my girlfriend down there, so I'm going to go rescue them. And they go down. Hey, guess what? We got Scotty in this episode. It's a big cliffhanger episode. It's a to be continued. Peacock was pissed. I was like, hey, they did Locutus of Borg as two parts. That was a cliffhanger. You can't get pissed at them for doing cliffhangers. So that put her in her place. Don't tell her I said that. But it was a really good episode. A lot of tension, a lot of what makes Star Trek good, showing how the captain is willing to skirt the rules a little bit here and there when it suits his needs, but has the full support of his crew because they're out in the shit and know what's actually going down, as opposed to this sterile view of Starfleet. Millions of light years away. Well, maybe not light years, but hundreds of light years away, maybe several light years away. They're on Earth, right? So what do they know about what's going on in deep space? Yeah, they've got intelligence and stuff like that, but it's not like they are really in the thick of it. So that's always something I do dig about Trek, is the people on the ship are a family and they are willing to do a lot for each other, even disobeying Starfleet rules. And usually they're in the right by doing that, because Starfleet command is kind of assholes, especially if they're a bunch of admirals. Admirals are always assholes. We also got a little more Chapel and Spock. That's my least favorite thing about the show. I feel like they're not setting up Spock as the Spock that he should be. It's too emotional. I really would like him to be more stoic, logical, and have man, I feel like the old series, there was like one or two things where he was influenced by some outside thing that made him emotional, whether it was like the Ponfar or the planet where the spores got blown in his face and he was all lovey-dovey. And then you get to see him be so different. But I feel like they, almost every episode, are exploring his humanity so much that it doesn't feel special when he does show his humanity, if that makes any sense. I like the cold. I want the cold, calculating Spock more, and we're just not getting it. So that's a bit disappointing. Anyway, I did say they brought Scotty into it, and I'm fine with that. It's like, well, who else do they have left? I guess they got Chekov, Sulu, Bones, right? Is that everybody that's left to bring in? I think. So I don't know how they're going to introduce them or what the end game is for a character like Scotty even. Like, is he going to go to another ship or is he just going to be on the Enterprise? Because they already have that engineer that Carol Kane plays. Is it Carol Kane or Carol Kane? Yes, Carol Kane. Carol Kane is the singer. Carol Kane is the actress. Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was kind of cool. Nice little Easter egg. And like I said, it was a good episode overall. Kind of scary at times, dark, tension filled, good cliffhanger. So no complaints. Comparing season two to season one, I feel season one was better. I had a few problems with the early episodes of season two, and the musical episode was my least favorite of all 20 to this point. And it's too much Chapel Spock stuff. Don't need it. Yeah, it really kind of takes away. A little too much Kirk, too, although I'm growing to like the character more and more and more each time they show him. Maybe it's just like, hey, we're going to shove him down your throat. Eventually, you'll probably like him, right? I guess so. It's working for me. So we shall see. But yeah, overall, a really strong episode. Another thing I watched, the new Gal Gadot, whatever, Heart of Stone movie on Netflix. It's new, I think, within the last week or so. Usually I save movies and stuff like that for our movie episode at Beside Geek, patreon.com/BesideGeek, in fact. But seeing as how this was actually new, I figured I'd talk about it here. Not good. It felt very much like a Pierce Brosnan era Bond movie, just way too CGI, computer gimmicky. I think it had a chance to be good, but they just went way too over the top with the whole thing. I actually liked her character, and I feel like, oh, this could work as a female spy series, but it was just too much, I don't know how else to put it. There was a good twist in the beginning. I'll give it that. I didn't see that coming. I don't know. The whole premise just felt off to me. It's just not good. So I take it back. This is garbage. Don't ever do another one of them. Is that harsh? I don't know. I don't know what else she is going to be good for. No, that's terrible. But she seems like a good action star. But she's not getting good action role. I really liked her in that one with Ryan Reynolds and The Rock. I forget what that was. She's a great Wonder Woman. She was just wasted in the second movie, and I don't know if she'll get a third shot. So that's kind of sad. Anyway, Heart of Stone, not great. I would say skip it. All right, let's move on to some sports ball. Sweat-soaked Lucas Glover wins for the second week in a row, taking the St. Jude Classic and the first of three FedEx playoff events with a 15 under and a par playoff hole against Patrick Cantlay, who put it in the drink. So yeah, he won last week, I think, to get into the playoffs, and then he wins the first event of the playoffs, Lucas Glover does, and he pretty much shot, I think the final day maybe one under, but a lot of people were shooting better than that, 5-4 under, so things like that. They just couldn't catch him. I guess he had to build out a nice lead. Again, I usually don't watch the first 3 days. I usually just watch the last day. And he ended up making a bogey late that dropped him one behind at that point, but came back and ended up going to playoff hole on the 18th, and Patrick Cantlay was up first, and it was a shame. He put it in the water on 18, and all Glover had to do was basically was put in the fairway and make a par, which is what he did. And even Cantlay even had a chance to make par with a chip, because you go in the water, you get a penalty stroke against you, I should say, and then you hit from the fairway. He did. So that was his third shot, and then he had to put it in the hole, and he couldn't. So, but man, it's impressive, Lucas Glover. A lot of people are attributing it to his putting, and he has this new long putter, which I hate. these you swing it like a croquet mallet, kind of, not between your legs, but you hold the top of it with one hand and the middle of it with another, and you swing. It's weird. I never liked the look of it. It's awkward looking, but it's working for him. He won the last two events, which is crazy. And again, he's 43 years old. He was a sweaty, disgusting mess. I mean, it was very humid. This was in Tennessee, I think, the St. Jude, at the headquarters of FedEx, actually. Yeah, but still, impressive victory. And the weird thing is, too, he doesn't wear a glove. A lot of guys, most guys, wear a glove until they get to the putting surface, aka the green, if you will. And so he's like dipping his hands in water between holes. He's always wiping his hand off with a towel because he's a sweaty mess. And it works for him. So good for you, Lucas Glover. And again, this is a guy that I kind of remember when I watched a long time ago golf, back when Tiger was playing. It's kind of when I got into it. And it's kind of weird to see him at this age just kind of come out of nowhere and be good. And he's still not in the lead somehow for FedEx Cup. Somehow John Rahm is still in the lead. He won the Masters, which is the first major of the year. But I have not seen really anything about him since then. And he's still leading the points race, which is crazy to me. He must have won another event, at least one other. But good for Glover. It would be cool to see an old guy just run the table. He doesn't even have to win next week. So I'll get to it, but the playoffs work. There were 70 guys in it, then it gets cut down to 50, and then it gets cut down to 30 for the following week. So we shall see. I think he's probably pretty safe to play in the final tournament, but I don't know, because he had to do good last week to get in the first place, but then he won. So I don't know. We shall see. But moving on, let's talk some Women's World Cup, as we love to do on this show. Spain advanced to the finals, defeating Switzerland, I think 2-1, and they are going to face the winner of England, Australia, which should be an interesting matchup. The colonizers and the prisoners. That's terrible. But I would actually find that interesting to watch, England and Australia. I don't know why, but I don't even know when they're playing. I didn't really look that much into it because, again, I just don't really care about soccer. And it has nothing to do with it being the Women's World Cup. I actually think that's more intriguing than the Men's World Cup. So, yeah, whatever. But it's newsworthy. And another bit of news from the sports ball arena. Retired NFL star Michael Oher, whose supposed adoption of the grinding poverty out of grinding poverty by a wealthy white family was immortalized in 2009 movie The Blind Side, which I believe had some Oscar. I know it had Oscar buzz about it. And I don't think it won. I think Sandy Bullock might have won. Petitioned a Tennessee court Monday with allegations that a central element of the story was a lie concocted by the family to enrich itself at his expense. The lie being, yeah, they never adopted him. They became conservators, and they still are to this day. So he's trying to get out of that. Isn't that what Britney had going on? It just makes me say, you leave Michael alone. Leave him alone. But this is an odd timing, I would say. So he's retired now. I don't know how long he's been retired or if he just retired. It just seems like, why didn't you? Maybe he couldn't because of the conservatorship thing. Maybe he couldn't come out and speak about it when the movie came out, or maybe it wasn't in his best interest to at that time. It just seemed, this whole thing seems a little fishy to me. And I'm not saying what he's saying is not true, I actually wouldn't be shocked at all if it was true. It's just, why now? So I don't know. That's something to keep an eye on, I guess, because that was a big thing, this movie. It was, I actually saw it because it was one of the Oscar-nominated movies back in the day, 2009, when I was actually going to see Oscar-nominated movies. And it felt very much like any quote-unquote based on a true story movie, where you think like, okay, this is obviously, a lot of this is just bullshit to make the movie entertaining and things like that. But yeah, it's a pretty big story, I guess. I just, again, I question why now. But anyway, we shall see. Moving on to movie, I don't have any, actually it's not a movie trailer, it's a TV trailer, The Penguin. And this is just a production trailer. Supposedly this is coming out in 2024. I have doubts about that based on the strikes. We'll see. It looks good. I really liked Colin Farrell as the Penguin and the Matt Reeves, the Batman. And it looks like a lot of good. It looks the same as the Batman. Very dark, very grimy, very gritty. Behind the scenes of the Penguin's rise to power as a gangster in Gotham. I hope Team Edward can make an appearance as the Batman. I think that'd be really cool. Seeing as how Matt Reeves is involved with it so much, I wouldn't be shocked if he does. But I don't know. I just really liked that character and Colin Farrell's portrayal in that movie. So I think it'd be really good, and I hope they can continue to build this world, because, surprise, it is my favorite Batman movie now. I didn't really dig it when it came out, but I watch it over and over and over again. I just like it more and more and more, and I think it's probably the truest adaptation of the Batman that I like anyway, from the comics and things like that. So I want more of this world. I know that James Gunn's going in a different direction, but they're not ditching this, and I hope they don't, because I think it was really, really good. So hopefully it does well. Hopefully it actually gets made. Again, I still have doubts. 2024 seems very optimistic. All right, nerd news. Disney has announced that it is raising the prices for the ad-free tiers of Disney Plus and Hulu, but they will now encourage you to bundle. So beginning October 12th, Disney Plus, the ad-free tier will increase from $10.99 to $13.99. Similarly, Hulu's ad-free tier will go from $14.99 to $17.99. So a couple $3 jumps there. But here's the thing. If you subscribe to both, there's a new Duo Premium bundle, ad-free. You get both Hulu and Disney ad-free. Again, $19.99. And that begins September 6th. So I didn't catch what the current Duo bundle is. I'm sure it went up if there was one, but it really does seem like a pretty good deal if you already have both of those. Why would you want? I mean, that's I'm not a mathematician, but that's going to save you $10 roughly. So yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. Now here's the thing. If you're sharing and one of you, I think this might be the case with Peacock and I and her parents. I think they have Disney and give us the code, and we have Hulu and give them the code. We're going to have to scrap that, because it just doesn't make sense. Somebody will get both and share the code and maybe get another stream. I don't know. It's such a clusterfuck streaming nowadays. The one saving grace, I will say, is it's monthly. So you can still cancel and wait until, I have to watch this now. And hey, I'll go back and watch the things I've missed in the meantime that I had some interest in. So you can do that. There's no year-long commitment, I think. Unless this Duo Premium was like, yeah, we'll give you this, but you have to sign up for a year. I didn't really read the article that much. I'm surprised I got past the headline, to be honest with you. But I think that's probably a monthly thing. So it does say a month, $19.99 a month. So hopefully that's all it is. Once these services get to be like, well, we'll give you it for a year for the price of 10 months and then phase out monthly payments, then it's going to be like, well, God, I'm just paying more than I was when I had cable. So what is the point? Yeah, it's just going to end up that way because they know they can. People will pay it. They're just going to gouge until maybe they'll hit a point or they'll have an algorithm and be like, well, this is the point we can charge before we start making less money than if we didn't hit to this point. And I'm sure they're looking into it. So it's, you look at it and you're like, oh, that's a good deal. But you could also look at it like, well, why are you charging me more anyway? This sucks. Hey, but it's the only ad, it's the ad free tier. You could still pay for ads and get charged less. The ads suck. I have some stuff that has ads in it. It's awful. It's the same four ads. It drives you insane. At least if they could change them up a little bit, it wouldn't be so bad. But God, it's really bad. I've seen that goddamn Barbie commercial like 800 times. I swear. I'd love to tell you who her boyfriend is, but I don't think I can. Shut up. Ugh. The Geico ones are the worst. It was cute the first 7 times I saw it. And then now I'm just like, I want to shoot the TV every time that comes on. Anyway, so it was, if you had both, even if you had both before this hike, it was roughly $27. Now it's $20 to have both. So again, it's still better, but I can see where it's headed. It's, let's bundle this, then we'll bundle that. I saw today that Disney was in talks with Apple to buy them and buy their channel. Well, then we'll bundle that in. And next thing you know, we're spending $35 on a Disney package because we want to see what's on Hulu and Apple TV also. Maybe you don't even watch, we don't watch Disney that much. If not for a Marvel show here and there and a Star Wars show here and there, we wouldn't, well, Shark Week was cool, but we wouldn't watch it at all. And let me tell you, Peacock doesn't care about either of those things. So it's basically me that's like, well, I feel like I should watch this Marvel show. And really, they're not that good most of the time. I could go without. So as long as they keep it monthly, I can really live with it because I could feel like we could binge something, a few things in a month's time and then cancel it again. And if it wasn't for podcasting, I really wouldn't care about staying current or even listening to podcasts because a lot of the ones I listen to discuss things that are on the newish side. And a lot of them don't like to put in timestamps, so you get screwed with spoilers. Not looking at you, Pittsburgh nerd, but there I said it. All right. Also in nerd news, kind of Disney related because Lin-Manuel Miranda is very tied in Disney these days. He is reportedly working on The Warriors Broadway adaptation. Now, The Warriors was a book first before it became that cult classic movie. This could be fun. it could also go horribly wrong, I guess, but he's so talented, Lin-Manuel, that, and it seems like something he'd be really into also. So I think this could be really good. I don't think it'll be really bad. It could be good. It could be like really good to okay. I don't feel like this guy screws things up royally. So that's the impression I get. I've watched In the Heights. I've watched, of course, Hamilton several times. I haven't seen the stuff he's worked on for Disney specifically, like Encanto and Moana, maybe. He might have done music for both of those, I think. I'm not a big Disney animation guy anymore. Once they went to computer stuff, I was kind of out. I was out before that. I think the last thing I saw was Lion King. Was that the most real? Like, I saw Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid. I think those are the four from the 90s that I saw, and then I was done. I never saw Tarzan or Hercules or Pocahontas even. So, yeah, I think those are the ones. And I saw a lot before that, of course, because I'm old. Like Lady and the Tramp and Snow White even and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and The Rescuers and The Rescuers Down Under, possibly. I don't really remember that much. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of the old stuff. And the 90s stuff I thought was really good. And then I just kind of fell off because I think I aged out. I was probably a little too old already to be watching the 90s stuff, honestly. But I was kind of into the animation and things like that. So yeah, it kind of grabbed me. But yeah, once it went to more obscure, not so much fairy tale stuff, I was kind of like, eh. And then now it's all computer stuff. And I kind of miss the hand-drawn aspect of the Disney stuff. So anyway, what the fuck am I talking about? The Warriors. Did I mention it's going to be animated? No, it's not. But it would be pretty cool if it was. All right, coming soon. PGA Tour BMW Championship is the golf tournament this week, starting August 17th, probably starting on Peacock, continuing to CBS, I would guess. USA and NBC, I guess, is... I just go by streaming services because I don't have cable. So, USA, NBC / Peacock, and Paramount / CBS, I believe. But this is the top 50 golfers. There were 70 in this past week's tournament. 20 of them got eliminated, and 50 move on. And from this tournament, 30 move on to the final tournament event, and the winner gets the big prize. So this one is in Chicago, I believe. I forget the course, but Rory McIlroy is favored to win, as he usually is for a lot of the tournaments, because he's really good. It must cater to his style, though, because I don't think he's not favored every tournament. I think a lot of that has to do with the course, so this one must be good for the way he plays. Probably, I would guess, since he's favored, it would favor a long hitter. He drives it more than anybody else, like 350, like crazy lengths. So that is coming up August 17th through the 20th. Also, I noticed coming soon, My Hero Academia Season 6 Part 1 dubbed version is hitting Hulu on August 21st. So if you are a fan of My Hero Academia, I am. I'm reading the manga. I have watched quite a bit of the anime. I think I'm like Season 3 in the anime. So I'm more ahead in the manga, although the anime is further ahead than... It condenses the manga a bit. So I'd say like two, three chapters of the manga are covered in one episode of the anime, roughly. So this is, I'm sure I haven't even read what this one's about, even though I'm on volume 10 or 11 or so of the manga. So that is coming to Hulu, again, August 21st, the dub version. So the dub version is really good. They do a great job with the voice work. I can attest to that. And it really fits the characters. That's all you look for. Some of them you are weirded out by at first, or like just put out a little bit by it. But after a while, you're like, yeah, they knew what they were doing. It works. I'm looking at especially one of my faves from My Hero, Suyu, who's a little frog girl, and her voice is very froggy, which makes sense. But when you're reading it, you don't really picture it that way. And then when you hear it, you're like, whoa, that's bizarre. But now I'm used to it. And I'm like, now when I read it, that's the voice I hear when I read. And they did a great job casting the main character and his voice. And then also his hero and the main hero of the whole story, too. Great job. So, yeah, when the manga is that popular, I think they do really try and take their time and find the right person. And they did so well with this one. So, yeah, if that's something you're interested in, check that out. And that's all I have for this week. It's a bit of a shorter show, not that much shorter, but I've got some editing to do, so we'll see what happens. Follow me on Twitter at BesideTheGeekPod. You can email us, BesideTheGeek@gmail.com. Check out our website, BesideTheGeek.com. Buy some merch, tpublic.com/user/BesideTheGeek. Support the show, patreon.com/BesideTheGeek. And twitch.tv/BesideTheGeek. I haven't been on there in forever, and no immediate plans to go back. So, I don't know. I've got other interests right now besides playing online video games, but maybe I'll get into that another day. Anyway, have a great week, and I will talk to you later. See ya.